Below the surface, the winding staircase came to a fairly level point. The passageway ahead went on much farther than Ryan had guessed. Cardamom kept the torch ahead of him, not having room to raise it above his head.
If Bolt has only been around for the last 40 years, how is it you're so old?
My wife and I were both among the original clones that were accelerated past our childhoods and adolescence.
You've missed some very magic times, friend Cardamom.
We thought we'd stolen some of it back when we had a child of our own 12 years ago. But he was one of the children ferreted out by Bolt's spies. He wasn't quite 2 years old when the Prince discovered his existence, along with the existence of other children, and had him drowned publicly by his raid people. Their bodies were given to the beast that haunt the forest beyond our border.
I am truly sorry.
Ah, nothing can be done. Here, our comrades wait ahead.
Ryan studied the three men ahead, waiting on their arrival. The man at the front held a torch, and through the dim light, Ryan could see that none of them appeared happy about the meeting.
We were not so united in our purpose in those days. Some of us would have died for our children, but we weren't allowed to do that. Our own friends and neighbors guarded Bolt from our rage and need for vengeance, because they feared he would turn on all of us. In spite of the deaths of the children, they thought he was capable of mercy.
A man easily 50 pounds heavier than Ryan, and a couple of inches taller, was evidently the spokesman for the trio. His tangled auburn hair was streaked with silver, as was the fierce beard that hung down to his chest.
Cardamom, what is the meaning of this?
Ryan, this is Basil. The other two are Sage and Marjoram. Basil, this is Ryan Corder and his companions. They're here to free the woman.
Her name is Mildred.
Why should we trust you?
If we were here to hurt you or just find out about these tunnels, it'd already be done.
What do you want from us?
This boy Tarragon here seems to think you people have a way into the Prince's fortress. I want to know where it is. If you're up to it, and maybe you got a few friends, could be we can put a raiding party together while we're at it.
You could be leading us to our deaths.
If that was the case, you'd already be dead. And the deal is, me and my people go into the fortress ahead of you and yours. Just in case you got any traitors in your nest.
Besides, we're without a doubt a lot better at skulking and chilling than you people. I never lived a day of my life in subjugation. Got a natural disinclination against the whole system.
You're suggesting that none of us could keep up with you once you're inside the Prince's fortress.
Smart man here, Cardamom. You get a couple dozen more like him, and you might have stood a chance against the bastard prince without us. Look, Basil, you're one paranoid son of a bitch, and I don't blame you. But me and mine can do what you people have only been dreaming of doing for years. Or maybe come closer to it than you ever would have. And we're properly motivated. Mildred is one of us. We don't leave our people behind. You understand that?
All right.
I figure we got enough problems with this time of the great uprooting you people are concerned about without adding to it.
You're right.
You're damn right I'm right. Now, about that back way into Bolt's fortress.
Mildred lay curled up on a cot. When she was taken to the holding cell, she received a feather-stuffed pillow and a thin blanket. She'd gotten to keep her clothes, but her weapons were long gone. The temperature inside the Kelp Prince's fortress remained stable, so the blanket was more for modesty than for comfort. Glancing through the bar set into the floor and ceiling of the chamber, she caught her guard staring at her, his mouth hanging open. He was young, surely no more than 20 years old at the most.
You never seen a black woman, have you?
No.
Did you know there were black people?
I'd heard.
You got anything against black people?
No. Why should I?
Still, you're curious, aren't you?
A little.
Wondering what it might be like to have sex with a black woman?
No.
Mildred sat up.
Sure you are. I know lust when I see it. I can see it in your eyes.
The prince would kill any man that raised a hand to you.
What's your name?
Clove.
Clove. Before the prince could do anything to anybody, he'd have to know somebody touched me, right?
I guess so.
So, if I don't tell, that presents us with possibilities.
What are you talking about?
You aren't the only one who's been looking. I've been getting hot just looking at you this last hour. Bet you're a real killer with the girls, huh?
No. The prince forbids unassigned fornication.
Unassigned fornication? Well, you do like women, don't you, Clove?
Oh, hell yes.
How much?
A lot.
Mildred pulled the blanket from around her. As her fingers moved to the buttons of her blouse, her eyes locked on those of the young man, watching them widen. Ryan was in the lead, Christy right behind him, followed by Jack and Doc. JB brought up the rear. Ryan climbed the terrain sure-footed and carried the 6-hour in one hand. The Steyr was slung barrel down over his back. The wind brought a razor-edged chill with it. More snow was starting to fall, dropping in big fat flakes that coasted across the landscape. Finding the gnarled lightning-blasted oak that Basil had described, Ryan went to it. According to the information they'd gotten from Basil and Cardamom, the trench, 12 paces to the northeast of the gnarled oak, had a section of the roots that contained the fortress only a few inches below the ground. They should be able to cut their way in with ease. Ryan visually measured off the paces, then dropped into the trench.
Roots here somewhere. Let's get it found.
Ryan took one of the digging tools they'd gotten from Cardamom and shoved it at the wall of earth in front of him. The curved blade sank easily. Once the root was found, the digging would go fast. Ryan could smell the deep rank scent of the loam.
Great. Got some dead buried in here.
JB stepped back from his place and dragged a skeleton out of the wall by a bony foot. As the skeleton came free, it increased the general stink hovering inside the trench.
Phew. Cardamom said there were. They bury them all around the vill, adding to the compost. According to their beliefs, it helps return the nutrients to the soil, paying for the ones they took out.
Here, Ryan.
You sure, Doc?
Listen.
All right, everyone work on that spot. We're going to need a space wide enough we can walk through.
Lover.
Ryan glanced over at Christy. The beautiful redhead's face held a troubled expression. Her hair was standing out from her head, moving restlessly, and it wasn't propelled just by the wind.
What is it?
This root's alive. Alive in a way much like those tanglers.
Meaning what?
Voices. I hear voices.
Whose voices?
The roots. I can hear the roots talking to each other. And something more, some other. I can't say, lover. I just know that the other is there and is aware of itself, even in the tangle of voices coming from the roots. It's something different.
What about Mildred?
I can't tell. There are people inside, a lot of them. The roots know they're supposed to keep them protected.
You gonna be okay in there, or you gonna have to stay out here?
I'll be okay, lover. But the power of these roots is very strong. I can feel the spirit of Gaia in them. They've connected with something very old, or maybe they've been a part of it all along. One thing I am sure of, when you cut into that root, it's hooked up to an alarm system of some sort that will warn Bolt.
You sure?
Yes, JB. I got a glimpse of it while I was feeling out the power of the roots. It felt alien from the roots, separate but connected.
Perhaps the roots are wired into one of the computers. There was some experimentation along those lines that I saw when I was back in the Totality Concept Labs.
So he's going to know we're coming.
He'll know someone is coming. I don't think he'll know who.
If he does, and if Mildred's still alive, it could go hard on her.
Got no choice. No alarms yet, right, Christy?
Right.
Bolt going to know where we're at, or just that his sec integrity's been violated?
I don't think he'll know where.
Ryan slipped a camp axe from his pack.
Doc, you and Jack keep widening this gap. I'm gonna chop our way in with this camp axe. JB, you and Christy get lookout.
Ryan set himself up, lifting the camp axe high over his head. The blade bit deeply into the pulp of the root. Dark sap oozed out in sticky patterns, clinging to the axe like death blood. Victor Bolt, Prince of the Celts and ruler of Wildroot, stood in front of the computer system, watching the images relayed from the concealed cameras to the 20 screens arrayed around him. More than half of them were working, though some of them only just. Screens 2 and 9 were fuzzy, and the colors were off, painting images in garish greens. His understanding of the camera equipment was rudimentary at best. Had his father lived, though, he was certain he would have known everything about them. His father would have taught him. That was one of the things he missed most about the man.
Is there nothing we can do to the cameras, Merlin?
Not without physical restoration and repair at those ends. You've been notified of this. Someone is at the door, Prince Bolt.
Who?
Subject,